everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of season 9 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki our way through the Die Hard duo, the last two Die Hard movies, Die Hard 4 and 5, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Lisa Leahy of Pictures and Conversations. Welcome back to the show, Lisa.
Thank you.
I hope you've got your thinking hat on today, because
I've got,
you know, we've got more trivia for you. Come in.
I've got my thinking ears on.
Okay. Yes, my
dorky headphones with my ears.
Yeah.
I am a mature adult.
Only I get the pleasure of this, to see those cat ears. other people have to podcast with you in order to see them.
That's it. To get to see them.
There you go. Okay, so episode 9 begins with the chopper looking for them through the street, and ends with sounds of debris falling in the distance. So John has surprisingly managed to once again piss off the villain.
Shocking, right?
Yeah, completely.
Very out of character for John.
Completely. Hardly.
Hardly.
Trouble catching.
Hardly. That's when he makes him stutter too, because he's hardly. I'm gonna have to go watch that again.
I actually just watched it a few weeks ago.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yes, and look for that Johnson reference and get back to me.
Mm-hmm. I will. I was trying to do it, but my Voodoo account won't open for some reason, so I have to do it later.
Ah, okay. All right, no problem. Well, you had since yesterday to do it. Come on.
I'm slacking. I forgot. I am a bad procrastinator. I have to cop to that.
Yeah, don't tell your students.
Oh, no, I tell them. I am a procrastinator, but I don't miss the deadline. See, that's where they screw up. They go past their deadline. That's not procrastinating anymore. That's just not doing the work.
Uh-huh. Okay. Fair enough. So we ended things yesterday with the chopper shooting at them, killing Johnson and killing the two other FBI agents that were with them. And John sped off to try to find some safe haven along the way. But unfortunately, his car is being tracked. He's been low-jacked, I guess you can say, because...
Yes,
we get a shot of the bad guys in their truck lair, looking tracking the car with the wherever it's going, and they're giving information to the chopper, which is flying really really low in DC airspace. I don't think that. I don't think it's legal what they're doing.
No, not even close.
I wonder how they got the permission to film in the movie like this. Because I remember with Die Hard 1, they needed to get special permission to have the helicopters, fly in, so low.
Are some of these parts not actually in Washington?
That is a very good question. I mean, last week we saw that John and Farrell, they're waiting in traffic in Washington. They passed a monument that is in Baltimore. So
yes, there it is. Yeah.
You're familiar with that?
No, I'm not familiar with that particular one, but that makes me think, like, for this kind of thing, like, they certainly have your establishing shot saying we are definitely in Washington, but I don't know that all these things are filmed in Washington.
Right. So there's a lot that's in Maryland. There's stuff that's in Pomona, California, Camden, New Jersey.
Pomona, back where Cappy's retired.
That's right. Very good. You got stuff in L.A. There's a lot of stuff being filmed here in L.A. Philadelphia. There is stuff in D.C. Again, there's so much in L.A. Unbelievable. Yeah. Pasadena, Redondo Beach, California. Wilmington,
Redondo Beach.
L.A. More Pasadena, more Pomona, Santa Clarita. Most of this, They have 25 different mentions of shooting locations, and one of them is DC. So I couldn't tell you
See?
how much and when, what's interesting also is they filmed this mostly, through the winter, because they started filming it September 23rd, 2006, and ended on February 14th, 2007.
Need it for the summer. Yep.
But you never suspect that it's winter here, so that's pretty good, because maybe that's why they did all those scenes in LA when they had winter, because Baltimore and DC, don't think so.
No, I agree.
I don't think they would have been able to pull that one off. Right. So basically, at this point, the helicopter keeps shooting at them, and John says to Farrell, "Hang on." And he does some nice maneuvering, and then he goes and drives over a fire hydrant, and the hydrant starts spurting lots of water vertically upward, and it somehow hits the helicopter and forces one of the guys to fall out of the helicopter and land on their car, and then on the
Yeah.
ground dead.
It is a nice shot, though. It's a really good shot.
It's an amazing shot. I mean, again, this minute is going to have some nice shots when it comes to that. So I decided to do a little bit of research about whether a fire hydrant can actually do this.
Right, the pressure.
So basically, the fire hydrants in Washington, D.C. would not cause water to spray out, because the valves are located beneath the ground. Because of
Oh.
because when you have freezing temperatures, it needs to be lower in the ground so that it won't freeze. If it stays too, so it wouldn't spurt up the way that it does.
Interesting.
Yes. So, do you know other names for a fire hydrant?
No.
Okay, so it is known as a fire hydrant, a fire plug, a hydrant riser, a Johnny pump,
What?
yes, or the archaic name for it is a fire cock.
I have never heard these.
No, neither have I. I've heard it as a fire hydrant, and that's it.
That's crazy.
Yes. The idea obviously is a place where a firefighter can tap into a water supply and use it for fire protection. They have used fire hydrants similar to what we have nowadays since the 18th century, and having fire hydrants that are pillar type hydrants above ground were started in the 19th century.
Huh. Interesting.
They have various types of connectors that you could do. I wanted to look up like fun anecdotes about fire hydrants, but about firefighting and fire hydrants stuff like that, but I couldn't find any.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The one I love, I think it was in Backdraft, where there's a car that's in front of it, so they just break the windows,
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
and they just have the hose go through the car, and in the end the car is like filled with water because of all the dripping water that comes out of it.
Yep, they are getting to that hydrant. If you're the idiot blocking it, they will find a way to that hydrant.
That's right. That's right. So you have the whole idea of street pooling, which was most notably used during a heat wave in 1896 in New York, where the Commissioner of Public Works ordered that they open all the fire hydrants to provide relief to the population. And there are even communities nowadays that have low flow sprinkler heads
Huh.
on fire hydrants that will enable residents to use the hydrants to cool off during hot weather. While also, getting some control of the type of water usage that is happening, because they don't want them to be wasting all of the water there.
Right.
And there are so many different types of fire hydrants all around the world, different colors, different shapes. But the idea is that in the US they have different colors for the top of fire hydrants in order to indicate the available flow from that particular hydrant. So if you have a red one, it means that it's less than 500 US gallons per minute, which is not enough. It's pretty inadequate. Then you have orange tops, which are anywhere between 500 and 1,000 gallons per minute. You have green tops that are 1,000 to 1,500 gallons per minute. And then you have blue tops, which are 1,500 gallons and above, which is
That's kind of cool.
the best type of flow that you can use. Now the color of the bottom of the fire hydrant is also color coded. So if it's yellow, it means it's municipal. If it's red, it means it's private. And violet means it's non-potable supply.
That's crazy. I didn't realize there was so much detail to all that. I mean, it makes
Oh,
sense when you stop and think about it, but some rando off the street like me, why would I know that?
there is a method to this madness.
I love it.
They started a in 2011. They started a system where they wanted to get people to adopt a hydrant via websites where volunteers would shine up the sh sign up to shovel fire hydrants after snowstorms.
Huh,
And
I like that.
the cities of Boston, Providence, Bayou, Anchorage, and Chicago still have those, still use them.
I love that.
It's a great idea.
We have cute little fire where I live in Rhode Island. There's like people have painted the fire hydrants. So there's like, so it's like the fire hydrant itself, but then the sidewalk surrounding it. We'll have like something. So there's one that's an octopus. We have an R2D2 one, not maybe 3 blocks from me. They're actually pretty
Oh
cool.
wow. Wow, that's really cool. So you get to go see
Yeah.
Archie whenever you
Yep, whenever I want to.
want. And the reason that they use them as cast iron, that they're made of cast iron, was a man named Frederick Graff in 1801 patented it. He was the chief engineer of the Philadelphia Water Works, and he decided to invent fire hydrants using cast iron because there was too much tampering, freezing, and connection reliability and stuff like that
Makes sense.
to make it something that's uniform in order for them
Yeah.
to do it. So the bottom line is that a fire hydrant cannot spew water and hit a helicopter flying above as they do here.
Damn.
That's what it comes down to. But again, as you said, it's a very cool shot. I love watching the way that they do it.
It's fun.
Yes, it is. And then John says, "We lost the tail." And they're still trying to find them. And John is just driving all over the place. He probably has no idea where he's going.
Nope, none whatsoever.
That's right. And then the John keeps moving the car back and forth while the chopper shooter is trying to aim at them, and he keeps missing. And then John screams, "They're back! I know." And then Farrell says to him, "Take the tunnel left." It's interesting that Farrell is giving John advice on where to do it, where to go. And
Well, I mean, he's the navigator. You're the passenger. You're the one who's supposed to be watching for extra possibilities,
do
and
you really
he's doing
think
his
that
job.
do you really think that John McClane wants Farrell as his navigator?
No, I'm making a joke. He does help. He spots the tunnel, and it's like, oh, good idea.
Yeah. Now this is an unnamed tunnel. There's apparently no real tunnel in this area in Washington, D.C.
More proof that it's not filmed in Washington.
Correct. Correct. And then John swerves to the side. God, what are you? Oh, God. And then
It's
you know
so good.
John enters the tunnel, and it actually is quite inventive for him to go into the tunnel because he knows that the chopper can't get into the tunnel.
Right.
But he's also not aware of the fact that you know Gabriel is really on the ball, because Gabriel then goes, okay, bring up the schematics on that tunnel. And you know Trey hesitates, and then he goes, the tunnel. And you know he's just watching as you know the things are going on, and then he says to Trey, open the gates on the north side entrance, redirect traffic to occupy all lanes. And you know we see that the cars going now. We know that anyone who's a driver, this is what they would do. They see a new lane opening up, and they're just going to go. You know, you don't
absolutely.
Even there's, you know, it doesn't matter that that's usually going the other direction.
Well, this is what's scary. Yeah, like this sequence is real, like gets me nervous.
Yeah, understandable. But you see, one of the things that's very strange about this whole sequence, and you know, we're not there yet, but we will get there shortly, is that there doesn't seem to be any divider between the two sides. Maybe this is
no, I know.
Maybe this is a type of tunnel that certain parts of the day they really do open up all four,
yes,
going in one direction. You know, so
right. I think you're right.
Because like I'm used to when I go into a tunnel, you know, you have the divider between who's going in one direction, who's going in the other direction, and that's it.
Absolutely. That's so, what I see too.
You know, that to me, that's the only explanation, that it must be something that could be open for all four sides. Now there are only three toll booths on one side, you know, which also says something, which is a little strange.
One of them might be for like police use only, like emergency vehicles. Because if you have a jam, if you have a traffic jam going through, you need the emergency vehicles to be able to get through.
That's possible. I mean, we do have four traffic lights on the side of where the chopper is hovering. So we know on that side there's only three toll booths, which tells us the speed limit is 15.
Right.
I think John's going a little bit faster than 15.
Little bit. Yep.
A little bit faster. And you know, we see that Trey has a little bit of trepidation about helping Gabriel with what he needs to do here.
Yeah.
And then Gabriel says to him, "Now open the other side." And he gives him this really, really scared look.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "What?"
He and gets Gabriel, it.
Gabriel doesn't even think twice. He just says,
"No,
move,
move." Yeah.
You know, he's he's nice and ruthless. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is.
What do you think of Gabriel as a villain in this movie compared to other?
Oh, I think he's awesome. He's not so. He's better than two. But he's not. I mean, he's not the Grubers. You know, like
well, Stuart,
you cannot
Stuart's
talk to
them. Too.
Yeah, but I like Timothy Oliphant. I like him a lot in this role. This is where like 1 through 4 make it where 5 doesn't. I have absolutely no idea who the villain is in that last Die Hard movie. I cannot remember. I have no concept whatsoever. I have to rewatch it to remind myself. Whereas I can absolutely tell you who they are in 1 through 4. That like I think Oliphant does a really good job in this.
Okay. I agree. I mean, I like him in this movie. He's not the perfect Die Hard villain. And
no.
You know, later on when we find out who he is, that's sort of like, you know, that I see him as the quote unquote Star Trek / James Bond / Mission Impossible type of villains, where it's someone who used to be a good guy that now has decided to, you know, become a bad guy type of thing and use what he has, you know, use what he's learned against them, that type of thing.
Right.
Which I've never liked those type of villains, because it just, to me, it seems like a cop out.
Yeah, don't, you know, humanize your villains.
No, because what they're basically saying is that the only type of good villains that we can find are people that used to be good that are now bad.
That's the formula for quite a lot of comic book villains.
I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. And especially
Yeah.
all of Peter Parker's family and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then they open up the second side and we see tons of cars come through. Now, tell me, when John and Farrell drove into the tunnel, where were all these cars waiting that John was able to get through easily and no one else was?
Well, so John busted through the barricade. There was a barricade at the top of his on-ramp. Whereas the guy who we see recognize the lanes being open, he nudges past and goes in. So
Yeah,
they're all just
but
coming
where
off
are all
the.
the cars? But where are the cars that are being stopped from going in?
They're going. They're not being. There's barricades that they're adhering to.
No, but they're not there. If you go back a minute, you'll see that there are no cars there.
No cars where?
Waiting on the side that John bursts into the tunnel.
Oh, that he enters. Yeah, they don't show that. I agree with you on that.
It's not a question of them not showing it. It's just non-existent. It's empty. When if you go back, you can see that there are no cars waiting there. So when they open up the second side and all these cars start going in, you're like, okay, wait a second,
Yeah, where'd they come from?
where did these cars come
Yeah, no, you're right.
from?
Rob the continuity guy.
Yes. Isn't that what we're here for?
That's absolutely what we're here for.
We're here to make this movie better by thinking of all the different correct and incorrect things that they
Problems.
talk about.
Yes.
At this point, John then notices all these cars coming in and decides that he doesn't necessarily need to be there anymore.
No, well, it's creepy. So then he like all these the lights are coming off. Like he turns
Well,
the lights off. Oh, we're not at that point yet.
before the lights turn off, so
Oh,
John
sorry.
then
Okay.
that's okay. Then John says to Farrell, "Hang on to something," and then John swerves the car around and decides to, he stands there for a second trying to figure out what to do, and then he floors it going back the direction that he had originally come from. And then they show us all the cars continue to go in from both directions into this tunnel, and they show us also the schematics. I love the 2007 graphics that they use, showing the cars coming in from both sides of the lane.
Yep.
And like it turns red,
Yes.
showing us that something is going to be happening soon.
There is a problem.
That's right. And they show us that the west exit is open, and the traveling east, and the east exit is open traveling west. It has zoom in and pan left and pan right. Capacity and the different booths and the different lanes and all that stuff. So it's a fun little schematic that you can look
Yeah,
at.
it's cool.
That shows like all the cameras are where they are, but there's redness where all the cars are supposedly converging on one another.
A nice little foreshadowing of blood
That's right.
coming into her vein.
That's right. And what he does here is at this point he then goes into a different set of settings and starts turning off all of the lights inside of the tunnel. He turns off the emergency lighting, and he has the master lighting that he also turns off, which again is pretty clever.
Yeah.
And we see his internet connection. He's to the IP address that he's connecting to. So once again, we see how heavily this movie relies on the internet. If there was no
Oh,
internet,
yeah.
they would be gone. And then John looks in his rearview mirror and sees all these cars converging on him, and he slowly sees the lights being turned off as they're getting closer to him. And then he looks forward and sees cars coming at him and swerves out of the way. try to make sure that he doesn't hit anything, that he doesn't get hit. And then he skids to a stop, and the lights entirely go out in this in the tunnel where John is on his, you know, is on his way back out the direction of where he originally came in, and we see that that is pretty much blocked by all these cars in the darkness. And Farrell mm-hmm. then gets out of the car, and John screams, "Don't get out of the car! Don't!" And then he goes, "Just stay there. Stand still." And I guess it's a good thing that they have their lights on, because the
well, that's the other thing, because all these cars don't have their lights on.
That's right, but then they turn them on.
Well, then, yeah, but the other thing is, like, if this kind of thing, heaven forbid, happens to me, I don't know why they're still driving. The lights go off, I stop. So many of these people are okay. still driving to go through.
Yeah.
Like, that made me insane.
No, but I think you're right. The fact that these people are driving in a tunnel without their lights on is, anytime I go into a tunnel, I mean, first of all, I drive with my lights on all the time. You know,
yeah,
me,
well, most of us are driving cars that's automatic at this point.
Yeah, but I have mine set that it always goes on. You know, mm-hmm. night, day, whatever. I don't worry about that. You know,
absolutely.
And when I turn off the car, the lights go off. That's the
button. Yes. Oh yeah.
So that's why I don't have to remember whether to turn on the lights or turn them off and all that stuff.
Exactly.
But when I'm in a car that I don't do that on, and I go into a tunnel, I turn on the lights.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And John gets out of the car, and then his car gets sideswiped by a car that was coming in his direction that has now turned on his lights. And mm-hmm. John spins and flips over the car, and other cars are driving, and he almost gets hit and screams, "Run, run, oh God."
Yeah. The scary situation.
Yeah, and Farrell just gets caught with, you know, like a deer in headlights, and just standing there. And John grabs him and pulls him out of the way. And then a car hits another car and goes, flips over, and, you know, does a whole bunch of 360s. And yep. John bends down and covers Farrell. And just at the right moment, these two cars come. And the car that's flying in the air lands on those two cars and flips over John and Farrell. I mean, again,
yes, the two of them are crouched underneath. Completely exactly. ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous, but a great shot.
You know, it's a good shot, yeah.
It's really fun watching that, you know, because yes. you know, I remember seeing this in the theater, and you're wondering how they're going to get out of this. You know,
oh, point. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah. And the car keeps spinning, and there's a truck. That we see the truck driver gets startled by it and crashes into that car that's being flipped, and then hits the car, and the car then from the momentum goes flying back in the original direction that it came from, and John and Farrell just run for cover, and the truck continues out of control, and it rams into you know, a pillar on the side there, and you see chunks of the pillar just you know, jump off. And
yep.
Gabriel then gets up, takes off the headset, and turns to Trey and goes, "Don't hesitate like that again." Mm-hmm. You know, Trey has a look of disappointment on his face that he didn't expect to be, you know, that this is what he was supposed to be doing. But, you know, that's what you get when you, you know, sign up with the bad guys.
That's just it. Exactly. Like, dude, you're going to be asked to do mad things, like terrible, terrible things.
That's right. And then John is back with Farrell in their little hiding place. And we hear a whole bunch of people in the background talking or screaming. Yeah. "Can you help me get my wife? You all right? Yeah, yeah. You okay? I can't move my arms. Just stay yep. there. Stay right there for a minute. What?" And then John says something really, really strange, which I'm unable to quite understand. What happens? Because he gets up and starts, you know, going back towards the car. And, you know, he figures that, all right, it's about time for him to do something to stop this menace that's coming. Yep. And he says, "It can't be a uniform. It can't be a uniform, John. No. Get over the wall,
yeah.
sir. Feds called in a favor. All you gotta do is pick up a kid down in Jersey, drive him down to D.C. How hard can that be? Can't be that hard, can it? No, gotta be a senior detective.
Yeah. It's the parallel of him being in the air vent in the first film.
No, I completely understand that, but what does he say? It can't be a uniform, John, no. Ah, that's the
picking up Farrell.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Can't be a uniform. Gotta be a detective. Yeah.
Okay. So it's John Graping. There you go.
Exactly.
And then he goes, think of traffic jam, throwing a cart, and he's gonna stop me.
I love it.
And you know, John starts working his way. He climbs over all these different cars that are crashed. Yep. And he somehow gets back into the police car that he came in.
And I love that there's a completely clear, like, it's clear path for him.
That was my
like,
next
not,
point.
That's so right. Not, no, that I'm with you. It's like, no, I don't accept that.
He finds a completely clear way to get out of here.
Yeah.
And just continues down the way. And then we see Gabriel back on the phone. And he goes, Rand, get in there and get it done.
Yep.
And then Rand says, we don't have to. He's coming to us. Now, how does he know this?
I agree with you. It's so far back. There's no way. He's not low enough where he could see under that tunnel.
That's right. He's got an amazing vantage point if he can see where John is coming from.
Right. And it's a dark tunnel. Like, they showed us how dark it was. It was like pitch black. And now now you can see. It's like, no.
Yeah. It adds to the fun of the movie, but just not realistic at all.
No. But it's okay because it's a diehard movie and I don't care.
Right. And then Rand starts shooting at him and is able to hit John's car. You know, again.
Blow the hood off.
Then that's right. The hood goes flying. And John just keeps driving. He opens up the door and looks down at the road and then throws himself out of the car.
And this is not a good idea.
The car keeps going. Now, I don't know about you, but my car, when I take my foot off the accelerator,
stops,
exactly.
It slows down, yeah.
That's right. And John goes, this is not a good idea.
Yep.
And then the car hits one of the toll booths and flies up into the air and miraculously hits the chopper itself, and Rand jumps out of the chopper and miraculously he survives somehow. I don't know how.
I mean, like, lands on a car and then kind of rolls off, so I think that car breaks his fall a bit.
Yeah. And then John looks back and starts smirking to himself and laughing, and then realizes that he's actually in a little bit of pain.
Yeah.
And Farrell runs.
I just love that. I love the laugh. Like, the laugh is definitely part of my favorite. Like, what I loved about this film in a lot of ways is how what John McClane's reaction is what the audience's reaction is.
Correct.
You know, like things happen. He's like, oh, and you know, you start laughing because it's like, oh my God, that was cool. And it's like, he has the same kinds of reactions. That's what I remember from the theater.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you that you know, it's definitely John. There's a lot of John McClane-isms here.
Yes.
And again, that's what keeps it fun.
Yep. And then I buy it. I buy it.
Right. And then Farrell runs up to John, and you know, John's just laughing. He's sitting there laughing, and as Farrell he picks up his arm, and John goes, "Don't touch me! Don't touch me!" Yep. Okay. Sorry. And then he says,
takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
That's right. And just like the Timex that we talked about earlier.
I love it.
Actually, it was yesterday we talked about Timex, right? Mm-hmm. The Timex we talked about yesterday. And then Farrell says to John, are you okay? Then he looks at him and goes, oh my God. And then we hear in the distance a lot of debris crashing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this segment ends. You get like the perfect spot to, and they knew when they made this movie that they had to make it for people like us, and they knew where to pop it off.
Absolutely.
Which is great. I like that.
Yes, it's a fun time.
Thank you very much, Lynn Wiseman. Okay, so did you have anything else you want to say about this minute, Lisa?
Nope.
All right, so today's segment is called 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis.
Let's go.
Okay, so the idea behind this this segment is a simple one. You know, everyone knows about 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, that within 6 connections you can connect Kevin Bacon to any actor out there. And so we're going to do this with Bruce Willis. I'm going to give you the name of an actor or actress, and you have to tell me how you can connect to that actor.
Okay. Is it okay if I write it down?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Between See my blank Bruce notebook. Willis. I'm showing you for proof.
That's perfectly fine. All right, so we will start with a first one is okay. Connect Laura Linney to Bruce Willis.
Done. I can do it in one film, one actor. So you connect Laura Linney to Edward Norton in Primal Fear, and Edward Norton to Bruce Willis in Moonrise Kingdom.
Perfect. Perfect. The one I found, which I knew that one also, but I found the connection between Laura Linney and Primal Fear with Richard Gere, who was in the Deadpool with Bruce Willis. So,
okay, that works too.
Excellent. Okay, so the next one is Matthew Modine.
So from Matthew Modine to D'Onofrio in Full Metal Jacket, from D'Onofrio to Will Smith in Men in Black, from Will Smith to Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day, from Jeff Goldblum to Samuel L. Jackson in Jurassic Park, and then Jackson to Willis in Pick Your Poison.
You're right.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, you know, Split and Glass and Unbreakable and Pulp Fiction. I mean, pick one.
Right. Okay. All right. So that was that 5 or 4?
5 names or 5 movies?
5 connections.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right. Okay. All right. So I was able to find it in 2 with Matthew Modine was in Oppenheimer with Gary Oldman. And Gary
Oh,
Oldman
yeah.
was in The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis.
Yeah. See, that's it. I didn't have one of those multi-character. I forgot Modine was in Oppenheimer. Good right. call.
Okay. All right. Next one is Bill Murray.
That's Moonrise Kingdom. That's one movie.
There you go.
Done. I know. And the reason I got Moonrise Kingdom was filmed in Rhode Island. So
there you go. See, I know I said you know last week in episode 3 with Jay that I wouldn't use single connections. I decided every so often I'm going to throw some in, you know, just to see if people are on the ball.
See if somebody knows it.
There you go.
And those would piss me off if I missed it. But Moonrise Kingdom, you have Edward Norton and Bill Murray in my state, and I didn't have access to them. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
All right. Okay, next one. Will Wheaton.
Wheaton? All right, hang on. Oh, you're going to laugh hard at me for this one.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Hang on, I have to write it down so I have the rest of it. Oh, my God. This is the most back-asswards way of doing this. Nobody could reproduce this. Nobody. So from Will Wheaton to Corey Feldman in Stand By Me.
Perfect.
From Corey Feldman to Courtney Gaines in The Burbs.
Okay.
From Courtney Gaines to Linda Hamilton in Children of the Corn. From Linda Hamilton to Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator and Terminator 2. And from Schwarzenegger back to Willis in The Expendables.
Okay.
Nobody is doing it that way.
Nobody is doing it that way because Corey Feldman and Bruce Willis were in a movie together.
That's even better. Which one?
National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon.
Oh shit! I don't remember that movie. Yeah, that's fair.
And Samuel L. Jackson was also in that one. So it's Will Wheaton to Corey Feldman in Stand By Me, Corey Feldman to Bruce Willis in National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon. Now I found 2 others because you know I knew I had to give you. Stand By Me. Yeah, I have to give you Will Wheaton for that purpose.
Yeah.
So Will Wheaton was in Toy Soldiers with Jerry Orbach.
Yes, he was.
And Jerry Orbach was in Prince of the City with Bruce Willis.
Prince in the City?
Yes, Prince of the City.
Nobody's heard of that movie.
But I like the Jerry Orbach connection. So
okay.
And then the third one that I found that I really liked was Will Wheaton was in She's Having a Baby with Paul Gleason. And Paul Gleason.
He is?
Apparently, yes. And Paul Gleason is in both National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon and Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I have no memory of him being in She's Had. I mean, he's probably some random kid.
Yeah, probably.
He's probably some bratty kid.
Yeah. And your
final... Hey, nobody's using Courtney Gaines, so.
No, not at all. And your final one is Molly Ringwald.
I could do that with Paul Gleason now. I mean, I can cheat and just use what you just gave me because Molly Ringwald was with Paul Gleason in The Breakfast Club and Paul Gleason was in the original Die Hard.
There you go. That's the thing. Yeah, I sort of gave you that one, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But it works. Why not?
Fair okay. enough.
Thank you. Thank you for playing, Lisa. Hope you enjoy that.
Yeah, thank you. I do enjoy that game. That's a fun game.
Okay, great. And now we will do our daily state your motto.
Okay.
Okay, this time you have to guess the state motto of Connecticut.
Okay.
All right, so your three choices are A, I will defend, B, I direct, or C, he who transplanted sustains.
What is that? Who, what transplants?
He who transplanted sustains.
I'm going to go with that one, C.
And you would be correct.
Yay!
It is a really strange one, but okay.
Yeah, that is odd.
Again, a lot of these are translated from the Latin. Like, I don't really know Latin.
Oh, okay.
But it's...
Well, like, that one makes me think, like...
Transstulit sustinit. I don't know what that means. I mean, actually, yeah, it means he who transplanted sustains.
But... Yeah, exactly. But no, it seemed, well, it makes sense to me like as colonies, right? Like, because they were in one colony and then they kind of went to a different colony. And it seems to me like that sort of probably has something to do with it. But
okay,
who knows?
Could be. All right. Excellent. So, Lisa, would you like for one last time to once again tell people yeah. where they can find you?
Yeah, you can check me out on the 20th of every month on Pictures and Conversations, a Rabbit Hole Podcast Book Club. You can check me out on random different episodes of other Rabbit Hole Podcasts episodes. And, you know, I'll just show up randomly on other people's podcasts in general. I like to make a career of guesting on other people's shows.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, and if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So Lisa, thank you very much for joining me today. It's been
a lot of blast. Fun
the last 3 days with you.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you decided to come back this season since last
Absolutely.
Season you boycotted. You know.
Stop it.
We're not talking about Die Hard anymore. We're talking about, we're talking about other...
It wasn't my thing. It wasn't my thing.
It doesn't have to be your thing to talk about it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I guess so. That's fair.
All right. So I will be back tomorrow with a new guest. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Some folks are born and made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one, no.